I'm Shelley Schlender. In front of me right now is one of the prettiest cookbooks of the year. It's called True Food. It's written by the celebrated medical doctor Andrew Weil. Its subtitle is Seasonal, Sustainable, Simple, Pure, More Than 125 Delicious Recipes from America's Healthiest Restaurant. That refers to the sister project for this cookbook. It's a new upscale restaurant chain called True Food Kitchen, which serves many of the recipes in this book. And there's a True Food Kitchen restaurant in Denver that you can check out. Or just check out the cookbook. The recipes include tabbouleh, homemade hummus, scallops with kale pesto. The food pictures are so beautiful, it's like looking through an art book. In a few minutes, we'll talk with Dr. Andrew Weil in person about his new True Food Kitchen cookbook. But first, to set the mood for good digestion, here's some favorite music of Andrew Weil. It's a classical song in honor of what he calls the importance of deep relaxation to health. And with that sense of deep relaxation in mind, we took our True Food Kitchen cookbook to Dr. Weil's True Food Kitchen restaurant in Denver to see how the restaurant offerings match with the recipes in the cookbook. We arrived at 6 p.m. Our waitress was well-versed in the benefits of Dr. Weil's anti-inflammatory diet.
All the menu is all off of Dr. Weil's anti-inflammatory diet.
She explained the menu, too, filled with great winter foods.
So my favorites are the hummus, the chicken chop salad, and the autumn ingredient salads.
She was also comfortable with the idea of changing ingredients for our dietary preferences and for our palates.
We can pretty much modify everything on here. Yeah, the salmon is excellent. You know, quinoa is high in protein.
So far, so good. Many of us started with beautiful and unique fresh salads. Here's my friend June's description of her salad that included Brussels sprouts and cauliflower.
It's delicious because it's tart, but in a very nice way. And these chips look like sweet potato chips, and they're delicious.
Here's Greg's description of a very exotic salad.
Mine is a tuna sashimi mixed green salad with a little bit of sesame seed and kind of a miso vinaigrette. Pretty good. I like it.
As a main course, some of us chose fish. That's one of Andrew Weil's favorite healthy foods. Our friend, the musician Joe, said he liked the edamame dumplings. But as time went on and it got busier, a problem became more evident. Now, maybe the problem happened because everyone at our table was over 50. Some were over 65. One was over 70. But despite the age of the people at the table, some have golden ears, meaning they still hear very well. The musician at the table, Joe, has very good ears. But to explain the problem, he had to shout.
But way, way too noisy. It's really hard to hear, even from a couple of feet away with a friend. It's really hard to hear.
What did you say, Joe?
And this, according to experts in sound and health, is a common problem in restaurants today. To understand how common, let's borrow from a TED Talk with Julian Trazier. It's called Why Architects Need to Use Their Ears.
We end up sitting in restaurants that look like this and sound like this, shouting from a foot away to try and be heard by our dinner companion. Or why we get on aeroplanes, which cost £200 million, with somebody talking through an old-fashioned telephone handset on a cheap stereo system, making us jump out of our skins. We're designing environments that make us crazy. And it's not just our quality of life which suffers. It's our health, our social behavior, and our productivity as well. It's time to start designing for the ears.
You can check out TED Talks online to learn more about why Julian Trazier says that a quiet environment is important to health. Since Dr. Andrew Weil believes in soothing, relaxing music like this, you'd think he would prefer soothing sound in his restaurant. But back there at Denver's very packed True Food Kitchen restaurant, the waitress said that people who are younger don't complain about the noise as much as people who are older. This implies that noisy restaurants are a problem only if you're older. June is over 60. Still, she brought up the issue again. Can a healthy restaurant be healthy when it's so noisy?
Noisy places like this can be very stressful, so it's not part of the entire keeping healthy experience. The ambiance is not relaxing at all.
Soon we'll talk in person with Dr. Andrew Weil about his new True Food cookbook and his Denver restaurant, and we'll see if we can get up our courage enough to ask the famous doctor about the noise levels there. But first, now that we've sampled Dr. Weil's Denver restaurant food, what is it like to cook the food? To find out, we got together with some neighbors and their preschool kids to try the recipes they like the best from this new cookbook.
What's so funny?
Rio, do you like that soup?
They selected butternut squash soup made with sautéed onions, apples, butternut squash, and cashew milk. We chose braised red cabbage, halibut with mushrooms and Brussels sprouts, and a special umami sauce that you learn how to make. And, we also made a cranberry relish that included roasted poblano peppers. Everyone liked trying the cranberry relish, but it might take some practice, because here's what our neighbor Bill said about it.
Cranberry chili salsa. I like the flavors, but I don't think they're really unified together in the dish. I don't know if it's that there's no fat in there, or it feels like a bunch of separate ingredients mixed together.
I see what you're saying about it not being unified, but I sort of like how the different flavors kind of pop out.
What do you think, Rafa?
The favorite food, even among the preschool kids, was that delicious butternut squash soup with apples, onions, and cashew milk. Dr. Andrew Weil's recipe book explains how to make the soup and even how to make the cashew milk. In fact, it's easy. Just grind raw cashews in a food processor until it's smooth, add water, blend some more, then strain out any big pieces, and there you have cashew milk. It's delicious. Amy said she'd like to try a lot of the recipes in this cookbook.
So just paging through this cookbook and looking at some of the recipes, what I like is that as a mom with two young kids, the recipes seem fairly easy. There's not like a million ingredients. It's just like a few very simple but lovely things. And just the procedures are just, smart and efficient and not too fussy. So I think it would be great for a home cook, you know, mother trying to cook something healthy but delicious for her family kind of thing.
I noticed that as I was making these today is that I could be distracted and come back and still fix it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is important when you have a little one nursing and a toddler crawling up your leg. And
so thumbs up on the cookbook. As to the other topic that came up, at Dr. Weil's True Food Kitchen restaurant in Denver.
Way, way too noisy. It's really hard to hear even from a couple.
Since most of the people at our table at that restaurant had been over 50. And Amy and Bill are definitely younger. What do they think? How old are you?
I'm older than 30 and not quite 40.
So you're not 60 by any means.
No.
And you still don't like noisy restaurants.
No, definitely not.
It just feels kind of stressful to have to always say, what? Maybe you even avoid talking a little bit when you know it's going to be a little bit hard to communicate in an environment that noisy.
Do you have any favorite restaurants that are quiet?
What's that other place that we love? The Czech chef?
Oh, sorry, that's the one I'm thinking of, L'Atelier.
Can you babble? I want to play with you, babble.
You want to play with me? We're busy talking here. Can you just... can you hang around with us?
Hey, Mama.
Where are we going?
Hmm? Can you play with me, Mama?
Yes, I can. You want to play trains?
Yeah.
Noise. How to cook tasty food. How to adapt recipes. We had several issues to talk over when we finally got a chance to interview Dr. Andrew Weil about his new True Food cookbook and restaurant. Most would be straightforward questions, but that noise topic... that was kind of an awkward one. What would he say? This is Shelley. Is this Dr. Weil?
Yes, it is.
Hi there. I've been enjoying looking at your book, True Food.
Good. Have you been to the restaurant?
Actually, I have.
Oh, good.
It's a neat combination. The recipes, everybody who I've shown your book to have said that it's the most gorgeous recipes they've ever seen. The photos are wonderful. The food is very tasty. We've tried the Brussels sprouts. We've tried the kale salad. At the restaurant, the interesting part is that what you try at the restaurant, you can also make at home.
Absolutely. A lot of these recipes are simple. They don't involve complicated cooking techniques. There are some unusual ingredients, but we tell you how to find them.
And when you tell how to find them, you also explain what is healthful about them.
Absolutely. And, you know, all of these recipes, I think, conform to the principles of my anti-inflammatory diet, which I think is the healthiest way to eat.
Now, you say that that's the healthiest way to eat, but you also acknowledge that there is debate right now about what is the healthiest way to eat. And so you're okay about having people modify the recipes or request recipe substitutions in your restaurants.
Sure. I think that, you know, this is a general framework on which to develop your eating patterns. It's based on the Mediterranean diet with Asian influences. You know, we try to use local, fresh, sustainable ingredients, organic when possible. And the food is not gussied up. You know, we really try to let the true flavors of real ingredients come through.
What recipe do people request the most?
I think the Tuscan kale salad is certainly one of the most popular. I brought this back from Italy. It uses black Italian kale. And the trick is to let the kale sit in a dressing with fresh lemon juice and salt and olive oil for at least 15 or 20 minutes before you serve it. And this takes the bitterness and toughness out of the kale. You know, we serve an incredible amount of this. And it's very popular with kids as well. And who would ever thought we'd see American kids eating kale?
And yet that is an example of a recipe where substitution is part of it. Many people are gluten intolerant. Many people are not eating grains anymore. Your recipe for kale salad includes breadcrumbs.
You know, that can be left out. It also has some Parmesan cheese in it, so people who don't want dairy can leave that out. So that's an example of how you can play with these recipes.
Now, Dr. Andrew Weil, my husband and I had a debate about this because he said the recipes look so beautiful. How can you bear to leave out some of the ingredients if they look so perfect? What do you say?
Well, I think, you know, I use cookbooks somewhat. I like to invent recipes. And when I look at a recipe in a cookbook, I adapt it to my own ways in the kitchen. So I think recipes give you suggestions. It may be good the first time you make it to follow the recipe and then play with it.
And so you're okay with that. I can tell anybody who says these recipes look perfect that as part of your perfection, you reinvent them all the time.
I do. And I think that's part of being a creative cook. You're not bound to a, you know, something you see printed in the book.
You know, I noticed that at the restaurant, actually, that there was a Brussels sprouts side dish on one of the menu items that we chose, and the chef had chosen to add shiitake mushrooms. When I looked in your book, we're not in the book, but they tasted great, and it seemed like a logical thing to add in.
Try out things in the restaurant is in the book. There's a lot of recipes in the book that are not yet in the restaurant.
Oh, really? There's still room to evolve?
Definitely. We keep changing.
Now, as part of changing, I was wondering about one part of the book. You mentioned that this is also a health food book. It's not just recipes. It's just that that's how people relate to food is through recipes. So it's also actually a health food book. What are you finding about how much this opens the door for people?
I think it opens it quite a bit. The greatest challenge that I've faced is trying to convince people that eating for pleasure and eating for health are not an opposition. Food that is delicious and food that is good for you can be one and the same. We try to give people that experience in the restaurant. We try to give people that experience through the recipes in the book. But I think if you've never really eaten delicious food that's good for you, you don't believe it's possible.
And once you eat it, you believe it all the time.
Absolutely. You know, it's just most of us have been served such dreadful stuff that we've been told is healthy. And we think that eating for health means giving up everything you like, and that's just not so.
As somebody who cooks a lot, I was intrigued that the balance of things like the amount of lemon, the amount of any ingredient, really is the most important part, that if you get too much lemon, if you get too little oil or vice versa, it starts to change the taste.
Absolutely. It's all about balance. And I think that being a, you know, developing good cooking skills is getting a sense of that kind of balance of flavors. And we really try to let the true flavors of real foods come through. One of my complaints with a lot of restaurants I go to is that everything is so fancied up these days. I like simple dishes with not that many ingredients, with bold flavors that really satisfy.
Now, in your book, as you talked about these simple foods and blended them together in wonderful tastes, I was curious why you didn't include something like a nutrition food fact label, since this is a health book. Why didn't you say how many carbs, how many grams of protein, et cetera, were in the recipes?
We are doing nutritional analyses on the recipes, and that information will be provided in the website of the restaurant and in the restaurants. But, you know, we don't count calories. We think that eating this way and eating this balance of ingredients is the best thing to do and not really be tied to the information you see in nutrition labels.
Okay, so in the book you wanted the pleasure of food and how to make it to be at the forefront.
Yep.
Before the interview with Dr. Andrew Weil ended, there was one more topic to bring up. An awkward one, but it needed to be addressed. In case you don't know what it is, here are two clues. First, the soothing music that Dr. Andrew Weil recommends for health. And second, the noise level at his new True Food Kitchen restaurant in Denver.
A nice location, but way, way too noisy. It's really hard to hear, even from a couple of feet away with a friend. It's really hard to hear.
What did you say, Joe?
I say there's too much exposed glass, and I think they could do some things here to make it easier to hear.
We had one criticism of your restaurant.
Yes.
Do you know what it was?
Well, if it was that the portions are too small, I'm going to really not accept that.
Actually, nobody mentioned that. People were very happy with the amount. They felt very satisfied.
Good.
It was the noise level.
I am totally in agreement with that. This is something that I fought my partner about. I am working very hard to change that. I cannot stand noise in restaurants, and it's very hard to find quiet restaurants. I think restaurateurs today think that, well, let me just tell you, when I've asked my partner, Sam Fox, and I tell him, you know, I've gotten another complaint about noise, his response is, how old was the person? And that's really obnoxious. You know, I think that restaurateurs think that by this kind of level of noise and music, they're creating excitement that young people like. You know, maybe they think it makes people eat and drink more and get out faster, but I think it's mostly that this idea that you have to make the place exciting. I can't stand it. It's a constant struggle. What I've suggested is we try as an experiment, quieting the restaurant down and see what response we get. So that's what I'm aiming for, so at least I'll have some ammunition to use.
We can be part of your ammunition because we asked the wait staff about that, and even they said that sometimes it's hard to hear the customer to get the order.
The more complaints we get, and if your listeners will write in and tell the restaurant that the easier my job will be to change it.
We'll continue to do that. The restaurant was packed. People obviously were enjoying the food. I was curious, though, how do you make a restaurant quieter?
Well, first of all, you can put noise-absorbing panels on the ceiling, and you can hang things on walls that absorb sound. Secondly, you do not have to have loud music with a heavy beat in it. You know, those are just some simple things to do. I am working as hard as I can to make that happen.
On the other hand, we thought the flow of the restaurant was gorgeous. To see the kitchen itself, to have some places where people can sit up at booths above everybody else, you know, a little higher and a little lower. All of that was just wonderful.
We like to have everything open. You know, we really don't want to hide anything. We like people to be involved. You actually have to walk through the kitchen to get to the restrooms. You know, I love all that.
Has doing this restaurant venture changed you?
It's been very interesting for me because I knew nothing about the restaurant business. And working with my partner, Sam Fox, has been, you know, it's been real learning to compromise and find middle ground. His eating tastes are as far from mine as possible. I eat mostly fish and vegetables. He likes cheeseburgers and steaks. And when I first proposed this concept to him, his response was health food wouldn't sell. So I had to teach him what I meant by healthy food. And I've learned from him that, you know, certain ways that I cook at home and things that I like won't work in a commercial restaurant setting. So that's been an interesting process for me to, you know, learn how the restaurant business works.
And since you know the health side of the business, it's interesting to me that you still stick with food. Most money goes to drug studies, but you're still saying food is the place to go if you want to improve your health.
When I write treatment plans for patients, and, you know, I direct a major academic medical center and train physicians in integrative medicine. Nutrition is a big part of that. When our doctors write treatment plans, usually the first item is nutritional advice about how to modify diet, what not to eat, what to eat to improve medical conditions. And I think before you even think about giving drugs, that should be where treatment begins.
And are you now going to give your patients this book?
Absolutely. I think, this is a good summary of my nutritional philosophy, a lot of practical information, and, you know, a lot of great recipes, many of which are very simple and quick to make.
Thanks to Dr. Andrew Weil for sharing his perspectives about his new cookbook and his new restaurant, True Food. The restaurant was interesting, and if the noise levels go down, I might go back again. As for the cookbook, we're already going back, and each time we try one of the recipes, it gets even easier to do, and the results get tastier. In part because we're understanding the recipes better, and in part because, like Andrew Weil does at home, we're experimenting. We're changing the recipes. We're making them more of our own. And somehow, that makes them even better. For KGNU, I'm Shelley Schlender.